Now, I mentioned earlier when Elton John was playing that I'd be talking to a man who's worked with Elton and many others, and Curtis Stigers is in the studio. Curtis, good morning.
Good morning.
You're very, very welcome. I see you're playing Belfast in April time. People will be looking forward to that.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it as well. It'll be my first time at Ulster Hall since, I think, 1994. It's been a long time, I'm really excited. But it's April 6th. Isn't that right?
It is, yeah. Okay, it is. Good, it's April 6th, Ulster Hall. The Irish fan base, how important are they to you?
Well, they've always been very important. You know, I've been coming over since 1992. My first album came out over here at the beginning of 92. And from the beginning, I've had amazing crowds. One of the big things that happened that I think has sort of cemented my love and sort of appreciation of fans here was that I was lucky enough to be here when Bill Clinton lit the lights here in Belfast that night. You know, Van Morrison, of course, played, but I got to sing a song before he did. And I never go into the Crown here in Belfast without someone coming up and said, "That you're here with your man Bill." that was a terrible accent, but I did what I could. But they remember. It's really amazing how that has sort of remained a calling card for me. So Bill doesn't call anymore,
did Bill play the sax?
He did after a fashion. Yeah, he was known as a saxophone player, and that was my first. The first time I was sort of in his vicinity was the beginning of his inaugural week just as he was becoming president. I was included in a large choir of saxophonists, and they were my heroes: Jerry Mulligan and Michael Brecker and David Sanborn and Grover Washington Jr. All these amazing saxophone players, and I was asked to be part of that for a big TV show that Quincy Jones created because I had a hit and I played saxophone. Really, I'm a singer who plays saxophone. You know, I'm when a great saxophone player is in the room, I put my horn down and I sing.
You know, you're a brilliant player. Of course, you're an outstanding singer. I'm just wondering, you know, do you in your head see yourself as a jazz person, or is there something in there that says, you know, your country?
I'm all over the place. I mean, I love jazz music. I grew up studying it. But my first record was a pop soul record. You know, people know me first. I wonder why, you know, it was a blue-eyed soul record. But I grew up studying the blues. I played drums in a punk rock band. I play music the way my record collection sounds, just all over the place. And it's been a bit confusing for record companies and publicists and managers, but I guess, you know, I get a little bored if I just stay in one place. I'm always looking to learn something new and to see if I can take that type of music and put it together with this type of music. And it's worked for me in that I do exactly what I want to do. I produce my own records. I pick the songs. I write the songs if I want to. Nobody tells me what I'm supposed to do. Early on, I sort of ran afoul of some record company executives, particularly a guy called Clive Davis. And I butted heads for a couple of years, and finally he realized I wasn't going to give up, and so he took the money and I took the control.
Yeah, and you've had that ever since, and a heck of a back catalogue. I'm just wondering, when you do have the hits and you have the recognition right across the UK and right across America, indeed, what sort of lift does that give someone like Curtis Stigers?
Well, I still have a career because of one hit song. I mean, I had others, you know, You're All That Matters to Me was also a hit around the world, and I was on the Bodyguard soundtrack with What's So Funny About Peace, Love, and Understanding. But because my first single from my first album was a number one or a top 10 hit all over the world, got a little carried away there with number one. But because it was a hit, it has allowed me the career that I have. I still get to do this for a living. I just kept going because of that. So it was a huge lift. It continues to be. And I continue to play the song and love it because it's mine. I wrote it, and I do it differently. Different nights I'll play it as a jazz tune, or I'll play it as a kind of a country influenced folk pop tune. You know, it just depends on what instrument I have in my hands.
And what's it like for you when you decide to do it differently or do any of the songs differently? Because some people will say, oh, no, I'm not into jazz. Then they hear you and they say, well, of course I'm into jazz. But people, you know, around here either put their hand up and say, I love country music, or sadly they say, I detest country music. Now, I'm a massive country music fan.
Well.
And you know, I scold people who think that country music is in some way inferior to other genres that come out of this part of the world.
Well, there's so many different kinds of country music, just like there's so many different kinds of jazz and so many different kinds of soul music and pop music. It comes down to the songs, I think. And a song, I think, can be a really good song anyway, can be played in a lot of different ways. My albums, my jazz records have Elvis Costello songs and Nick Lowe songs and songs by Annie Lennox and then country guys like Merle Haggard or Willie Nelson. A good song is a good song. It tells a story. It has a melody, and it'll hold up in any style as long as it's got sort of the bones of a good song, of a well-written song.
If you do a show and you're playing, say, cover versions from some of those guys, because I know you did some music from Steve Earle as well, who I'm massively into.
Oh, yeah.
If you did the whole show and you didn't do, for example, I Wonder Why, if you didn't do it, would the audience be going away short-changed, or if you decided that you weren't going to do You're All That Matters to Me?
I just don't see any reason not to do those songs. Both of those songs are songs that I wrote, and there are a couple of songs that were singles that I didn't write that I don't really care about, and I haven't done them in years. But the ones that people come, I mean, there are people that come because they know I Wonder Why. How could I not play it? You know, it's so easy. Again, it's mine. I love the song. I just have evolved the way I play them to fit what I'm doing now, that night, that, you know, that year, that tour. So, it just wouldn't make sense to me. I know that there are artists that won't play their old hits, and it just seems nuts to me. You don't have to play them all. I mean, you know, I recently opened for Van Morrison a couple of times, and years ago I went to see him, and he didn't really play any of the stuff that, you know, people wanted him to play. These days he's playing it, and he's also playing new stuff, and he's, you know, he's just as irascible.
Did he talk to you?
Yeah, you know, Van has been really nice to me. We definitely don't share any political views, but we love music, and we talk about music, and he's been wonderful. He comes to my shows in London at Ronnie Scott's. It's a huge surprise to me, you know, to see somebody that I grew up, admiring and basically borrowing from and learning from his records, you know, to see him in my audience, you know, it's very odd.
Like, he is a genius.
He is a genius. He's, Van. There's nobody like him, and that's good.
Yeah, you see, if he was from somewhere else, we would be saying, my goodness me, Van Morrison this, Van Morrison that. So many people here, even though they do recognize, yes, he is a genius, they sometimes see him in the street and he doesn't speak to you, you know, that sort of way. So
no, he's
that's
tough.
Van.
Van is tough. Van is Van. You know, you get Van and that's it. He's his own man, and I respect that. That's fine.
I must have seen him. I'm sure I've seen him 10 times, and every time you see him, you want more. Yeah, and you have an admiration actually for the way he does it, where he sometimes turns his back, and very often he doesn't speak at all.
Yeah.
And he might make an odd reference to his daughter or whoever's coming onto the stage.
Well, he's not like a Loudon Wainwright or he's not a troubadour. He's not somebody that goes out there and chats. I like to chat. I mean, you go to my show, expect some talking, expect me to tell some dumb jokes and tell you how I wrote the song or who I wrote the song with. But Van's up there, he's singing. I'm impressed in what great voice he is right now. I mean, he's no kid, obviously, you know, he's singing like he's 25 years old. I mean, he really impressed me the last time. And getting to sing, I mean, last time I played with him, I opened for him, he had me out, and I got to sing Jackie Wilson Said, with Van Morrison. It was just crazy. It was insane. So, as long as we don't talk politics, everything's fine.
No, he rubbed a lot of people up the wrong way during COVID. Well, in relation to other superstars, and I mean the Elton Johns and the Vans of this world, you've you've shared stages and studios with a lot of them.
I've been very lucky. Elton John was my first hero. The first album I ever bought with my own money was Goodbye Yellow Brick Road. And in 1992, I was, summoned to, backstage at Wembley Stadium when I was opening for him and Eric Clapton and Bonnie Raitt. I was summoned to Elton's dressing room and got to hang out with my idol. And he knew that he was my idol because I talked a lot in the press. And he was lovely, and he's always been amazing to me. You know, I see him once every 10 years or something, but when I do, it's like we've been friends for years. He's really been great. So I've been lucky. Bonnie Raitt is the same way. I mean, she's just adorable. She's such a kind human being. Carole King is another friend of mine that, you know, you just can't believe you're hanging out with someone that you've learned so much from, that you heard on the radio when you were a little kid, like I did.
That's some list of stars. It's just absolutely incredible. And Curtis, do you fly and drive and move around hoping that you're about to write another classic? Does that cross your mind, or do you sit down and physically try to do it?
Oh, it's hard. Writing songs for me, there are some songwriters that just get up every morning and write a song. And for me, it's the hardest part of my job. I love it. I love starting songs and finishing songs. All the stuff in the middle is agony. All the work part of it. As far as writing a classic, who knows? I just want to write good stories. And so, I do hope, that I can tomorrow finish that song I've been working on for the last year and a half, but I wouldn't hold your breath if I were you.
Well, I tell you, people shouldn't hold their breath. They want to get a ticket. It's the 6th of April, but the tickets are on sale from the Ulster Hall box office.
Yeah.
If you want to see Curtis Staggers on stage, first time here for a long time, and you'll hear I Wonder Why and You're All That Matters to Me and Never Saw a Miracle. And the show Sons of Anarchy, you've written for that, haven't you?
Yeah, I was lucky enough to be asked to co-write the theme song. It's called This Life, and I wrote the lyrics, and then kind of they ended up being co-written a bit by the creator of the show, and I sang the demo of it thinking someone else was going to sing the song for the show, and they said, oh yeah, that's perfect, we're going to put that on. So I ended up being the voice of Sons of Anarchy, and I did several other recordings for it during the run of the show. It ended up being a huge show, particularly in the States. I think it was pretty big over here as well. You know, there was definitely an Irish there were a couple of threads to the story that ended up over here, and people really got into it. I just considered it a really lucky thing. Out of nowhere, I was the voice of this show that was huge, a show about bloodthirsty gun-running bikers. You know, I mean, go figure.
Well, you're one very modest guy. Curtis, lovely meeting you.
And you. Great to talk to you.
Thank you for coming into the studio. Curtis Staggers with us here in the studio at U105, and here's one of those songs that he did write.
your heart to me, and I'll guard it with my life. I don't know what I'd do, baby, without you. You're all that matters to me. The ground that you walk, the air that you breathe. Someday you'll discover I don't want no other. Believe me, you're all that matters, baby. Oh, that matters to me. People looking for paradise.
There's Mags saying, lovely interview, on my way to get the tickets. What a lovely man, says Mags, listening to the programme. Jeff, big fan of Curtis Stigers. Karen as well, just some of the people enjoying the chat there with Curtis in the studio. And he will be playing the Ulster Hall on the 6th of April. That's the 6th of April, so a nice stocking filler for Christmas there. If you're looking for an idea for a night out for you and your loved ones, that's the Ulster Hall Belfast tickets from the Ulster Hall box office. The great Curtis Stigers with us here on U105.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.